You and your dog are a team. Fuel is best in the field and in life with Purina Pro Plan Sport. Made for hardworking dogs of all ages, every sport formula starts with real meat as the number one ingredient and is specifically formulated to support strength and stamina. Try it today and see why Pro Plan is the official dog food of Ducks Unlimited. Learn more at ProPlanSport.com.
Mic check, please.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the Ducks Unlimited Podcast. I'm your host, Chris Jennings.
I'm your host, Dr. Mike Brazier.
My name is John Gordon. I'll be your host.
And I'm your host, Katie Burke.
Welcome to the Ducks Unlimited Podcast, the only podcast about all things waterfowl. From hunting insights to science-based discussions about ducks, geese, and issues affecting waterfowl and wetlands conservation in North America. The DU Podcast, sponsored by Purina Pro Plan, the official performance dog food of Ducks Unlimited. Purina Pro Plan, always advancing.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the Ducks Unlimited Podcast. I'm your host, Chris Jennings. Joining me on the podcast today is Jay Anglin, a freelance contributor to Ducks.org and our Great Lakes Migration Alert editor. Jay, what's going on, man?
Just enjoying this awesome spring rut weather. As I look out the window, it's snowing. So yeah, Northern Indiana's finest weather kicking in right now.
Yeah, you're definitely getting a little bit of... You guys got a little taste of spring there, and then now you're getting cold again. I think everyone's kind of dealing with that, especially the upper Midwest. That's kind of wanted to bring Jay on the show today, and really we wanted to do a wrap-up of the Light Goose Conservation Order for 2024. And Jay, what are you hearing out there as far as guys still being able to chase geese?
You know, it's been a pretty remarkable season, and just to cut to your question and address it directly, there's still guys sitting under, birds right now as we speak in the Dakotas, and they're doing pretty darn good. It's amazing to me. I just saw where Nebraska last week, and I don't remember if I think their season's still open. I can't recall, but I know guys were just last weekend were having some amazing hunts in Nebraska. Because again, back to the pushback, we'll talk more about that, but. It's just guys are still chugging along. And, every year I see I'm going to go up there in April and May and Canada or whatever. And now I'm steelhead fishing and getting revved up for turkey. So it's not going to happen this year.
Yeah, life gets into the way of snow goose season a lot. And I know it did for me this year especially. Yeah, so, let's kind of talk about that. I think the big story of the season was the extremely warm weather throughout the South and Mid-South towards the end of January. And guys were talking about birds were just bailing out and just pushing north as fast as they can. Well, then, what was it, about 10 days ago, 2 weeks ago maybe, pretty significant snowstorm hits the Dakotas. And that really, really the brakes were smashed down and those birds really started, funneling back south. What were you hearing on that, as far as the overall season? And then it kind of came to a head right there, a couple weeks ago when guys were like, they're going to be in North Dakota, and some of them were, and then all of a sudden they all got pushed back.
First of all, if you'd have told me, or if I wouldn't have seen it myself, I wouldn't have believed that Arkansas held as many birds as long as it did. And I know you guys are right down there and can see it yourselves, but birds, it's kind of a mystery. I don't know if they came out of Mexico and cut up through Louisiana or East Texas and just made a straight shot into Arkansas. And then one day they showed up. But, all my guide friends down there, outfitters I've spoken with, guys I talked to that just chase them, they had incredible numbers all the way up through, Southeast Missouri, the Boot Hill. And then it seems like those birds, in a normal year will kind of trickle up through Illinois, and Illinois can be such a great state for spring snows. And this year it was kind of interesting. Some of those birds made those big jumps, and that was really triggered by that warm weather you spoke of. The three times I was in North Central Missouri, the one time it got in the low 70s up there. It was almost too
warm. Wow.
Yeah, it's almost too warm. You get a south wind pushing, gust of 40. Those birds aren't going to stop. There's no reason for them to stop in air like that. So, once in a while you get a single that's probably, whatever's wrong with it or just tired. It'll break out, and that makes it worth, being there, I suppose. But a lot of guys weren't buying the fact that so many birds got that far north. And we're going back a month now. There was birds literally bumping into Saskatchewan here and there. And everybody said, well, everything's frozen. Everything's frozen. Well, there's one thing I think a lot of guys fail to remember. And that is that these geese, snow geese, Ross's geese, they, you know, breed and live in an environment that is literally, it's winter, you know, up into June sometimes. And so, and of course, that has a huge impact on the hatches and breeding or nesting. But bottom line is these birds are geared for really, really cold weather and snow and ice. And really, they don't have to eat and feed for, you know, an amazing number of days. They just kind of, hold out. So that was kind of happening. They got a couple little storms. And then, as you talked about 2-3 weeks ago, whatever, there's been several different events, but there was one big one. And that one finally locked down a lot of the birds that got up all the way into North Dakota. But a lot of birds in South Dakota, they just turn around and skedaddle right on back into Nebraska, parts of Iowa. And I'm sure some went back to Missouri, you know, too. But the big concentrations really mobbed up in the rainwater basin, you know, and along the Missouri River. And again, I know there's still some birds there. But one theme I want to mention real quick, and it's been happening a lot. And, looking back, maybe it happened all the time and I was distracted by kids and whatever else was going on in life. But these storms come through and they hit the Dakotas, okay? They might center a little more over North Dakota, or a little more over South Dakota. And then they kind of go in there and, you know, wallop Minnesota like they do so often. But north of a certain line, and often, amazingly enough, it's the international boundary, they really don't get that much snow. And, you know, the drought conditions in Manitoba, for example, a lot of that has to do with the fact that they're not getting those big snows. So consequently, those adult birds and the hardy juvies that hang out with them, they seem to go up there and lock down. So once the blizzard stops and all the drifts start to melt and everybody digs out, everybody's like, wow, they're already back. Well, I think a lot of those birds just never leave. They just hunker down somewhere and bury themselves in the snow and hang out. So that's kind of what happened. They split early. Ton of birds went north, especially juvies, which I'd like to get into. But early, I mean. And then they kind of resorted and everything. And then that big bounce back happened. And, you know, like Tony Vandermore says every year, there's going to be a bounce back. There always is. Mm-hmm. So it definitely happened this year. 100%.
Yeah. And in the midst of all of that, which is in, like you mentioned, there were guys killing snows in Arkansas 2 weeks ago. You know, in last week of March or second to last week of March, there were still guys. Now that it was few and far between, but there were still pockets of birds kind of pushing right along that Missouri border. And there were still guys down there. And you knew a couple of guys who were down there hunting, didn't you?
Absolutely. I speak to a few guys here and there. And, you know, I'm going to Missouri next week. I'm going to South Dakota next week. How's South Dakota? I never left Arkansas. We're still shooting birds. Yeah. And it just went on and on like that for weeks on end. And I'd said, come on. And then he'd send me these photos. Yeah, we got 96 this morning. And I'm like, over the same spread. And a lot of times it gets late and you have to start chasing feeds, you know, because the bottom line is you're just not going to get enough traffic to really make it worth your while. So, you know, they get the mobile spread cranked up, get two or three crews bouncing around. And, you know, good for those outfitters because they were able to really kind of, you know, dig in a little deeper into March and pay for some of that overhead, which is, as we all know, with snow goose hunting is incredible. It's astronomical. But I went back and the biologist in me couldn't help it. I started digging around and looking at Mexico, South Texas, Louisiana. You know, a lot of snow geese end up all the way down in, Veracruz and even further south in Mexico in some of those ag areas. And there's a part of me that just, you know, perhaps there's trackers out there and you know, they know this, but I'm starting to think that those birds go down there and they live the life of Riley in Mexico, you know, warm, sunny days, eating good food. And, you know, one day they're like, hey, let's go up to Arkansas. Because every time we get all those big pushes up through Illinois into Missouri and think, oh yeah, Arkansas is empty. These guys would say, oh no, I just saw, 100,000 this morning. And so it's really, you know, a lot of this is conjecture on my part and based on anecdotal observation, but when it comes to snow goose and especially spring snow goose hunting, as well as I do that there's a pretty good, human intel bank there and it really adds up. You know, you start putting pieces together.
Stay tuned to the Ducks Unlimited podcast, sponsored by Purina Pro Plan, after these messages. You and your dog are a team. Fuel is best in the field and in life with Purina Pro Plan Sport. Made for hardworking dogs of all ages, every sport formula starts with real meat as the number one ingredient and is specifically formulated to support strength and stamina. Try it today and see why Pro Plan is the official dog food of Ducks Unlimited. Learn more at ProPlanSport.com.
I know you know some guys who, you know, hunt Southern Indiana, Southern Illinois. You know, how did the guys in Southern Indiana fare? I know that that area holds so many birds, and we've talked about it before. But I was just curious with the way that that weather fluctuated back and forth and those things were pushing so hard. Did Southern Indiana lose a bunch of birds pretty early?
Yeah. So one of the problems with Southern Indiana is they're really confined really right along the Illinois border there. And, you know, a lot of times they feed in Illinois, which I could go into deeper. But, you know, one big hint is farming practices are dictated often by state, you know, federal and state guidelines. And in Illinois, they seem to have more appealing ag practices. That's all I'll say about that, I guess, but it makes sense. But nonetheless, you know, a lot of those really hardy adults start stacking up in their early January into February and all that. And yes, they were there, but they were gone. It was like here one day, gone the next. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of that has to do with that they had fed it out really consistently. Everybody I spoke to said they'd be in a field for maybe a day, day and a half or two, and then it would just be smoked. There'd be nothing to eat. So they moved over to Illinois pretty quick. And, you know, talking to those guys down there and guys that hunt them, you know, just fun hunt and some of the guides, it became pretty clear that, a lot of those birds they were dealing with were not just adults, but they were two-year-olds and some juvies that were just so doggone smart. You know, they'd been beat on a little bit, you know, early, you know, during the regular season in January. And of course, Indiana, you know, we don't, our LGCO starts after our late dark season. So it's mid-Feb, February. But yeah, in Illinois, I know those guys had pretty consistent hunting, and that was largely comprised of what a lot of times we'll call them local birds, but you know, we know they're not local, but localized would be a better term. Their birds have been hanging around. They're sitting on a refuge. They kind of know what's going on. They know the pathways, where to go, where not to go. They've been stung a few times. And as more birds come in, they kind of fall in line with them. And it's very reminiscent of large concentrations of dark geese. It takes them a day or two and they're like, okay, I get it. You do not go to that field. I mean, that sounds ridiculous, but that's the facts. It's just, it just seems very consistent. But, you know, and on top of that, in Illinois, and I think this saved them a lot of days because they were really dealing with some tough birds for a lot of those guys in Southern Illinois. And there's a lot of guys hunting in Southern Illinois. I think, you know, one of the problems was, again, those adult birds were tough to hunt, but they still had some consistent hunts, which was indicative of that daily sort of migration. Some days it was a trickle. Some days it was a full-on, you know, super highway. You know, anybody that's hunted spring snows has had a day where you've looked up and it's just like a conveyor belt of snow geese for hours on end. And that certainly happens a lot in Southern Illinois. I've seen it in Kansas and Nebraska, but I've never seen it like I've seen it in Southern Illinois on a really, really good push day. So they really did well. You know, I'm sure they had better seasons, but it was consistent. And so it wasn't like that bang, bang, you know, week and a half, 10 days, 3 weeks, whatever. It was like consistent the whole time, you know. And that's great because guys, you know, gives them something to cling to, even on days when you're like, oh, there's not going to be anything pushing today and you still have some birds. So anyway, much the same could be said about most of Missouri too, at least the northern half.
Yeah. The guys, maybe not. I was going to say the outfitters that I talked to in like Southeast Missouri really kind of felt that a bunch of those birds jumped from Arkansas all the way up into northern Missouri with, they kind of felt like they got the short end of the stick there in Southeast Missouri. They just didn't hold huge numbers of birds that they were accustomed to. They you know, catch some on flight days, but they just didn't have the big feeds that they typically have had the last few years. So they kind of felt like they got the short end of that stick. But did you hear anything along those lines?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that we'll circle back to Indiana and Illinois. those early concentrations that were holding on, you know, big refuges. I think quite a few of those birds, if I had to guess, were a lot of the birds that the guys in Missouri, Southeast Missouri, see, you know, pretty quick.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they got past them. And then those big jump days, you know, you get, if it's 85 degrees in central Arkansas and it's 70 in, you know, half of Indiana, half of Illinois, and half of Missouri, and you've got south winds cranked at 30, 25, 30, maybe gust 40 or 50, those big jumps are, it's like a commuter jet flying from Fort Wayne, Indiana to Columbus. I mean, it ain't, mm-hmm. it's nothing. It's poof, gone, see ya. Yeah. So that definitely happened this year. And I saw it, I witnessed it a couple times, and it was spectacular. But I will say this, what was really, really the big standout, and I don't want to get ahead of you, but it was the juveniles, the juvie snow geese. And guys just don't believe it. It's like they have to see it with their own two eyes. But going back to the first week of February, our best day, the crew of guys I hunt with, I think we got 75 or 80 birds, all migrants, all birds pushing. And I'd say 85, 90% of the birds that we had in the spread, and boy, did we have them. I mean, some really, really great, you know, spins. They were juveniles. I mean, you'd look up at a flock and you'd like, I'd follow them with binoculars for a mile. I'd say there's not one adult in that flock and there's 300 birds. That was the first week of February. So a lot of those birds head over to Mountain City and they go to Los Bluffs and hang out. And I think everybody kind of expected them to kind of turn around and come back. But what was amazing is a lot of them pushed into South Dakota.
Yeah.
By mid-February, they were seeing them up there. So I do think those guys in Missouri kind of got gypped on the birds. And, you know, sometimes it's just the luck of the draw. But when you're right there and so close to the mobs, that has to be frustrating.
Yeah. Yeah. Talking to John Pullman, another contributor for our Migration Alert program, you know, he mentioned that some of the outfitters that he knew were running spreads in Missouri and they were from South Dakota. And he was, by February 15th, those guys were packing and going back to South Dakota. Like the birds had already bounced up there. Now, once they got there, like you mentioned, those things hunkered down and rode out some pretty cold weather. But that Missouri River corridor there in South Dakota really, you know, holds significant numbers of birds. And that's where those guys did pretty well. And to be honest, I mean, they're still doing pretty well. I mean, there's still a significant number of birds there. And you know, anything that couldn't jump into North Dakota due to weather. But looking at the weather today, it looks like North Dakota is about 60 degrees. So, you know, those birds are still just pushing.
Yeah. And, you know, the thing is a lot of the birds that we were hitting, especially those juvies early in February, they were just so ragged. You know, I always use the term keeled up. And that's, you know, when they burn so much body mass migrating and a lot of their, you know, they don't have fat stores necessarily like a big, heavy adult. And they just start to burn themselves up and they get that really pronounced, you know, breastbone sticking up where it's amazing. They have very little muscle.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, those birds aren't going to probably do real well in a blizzard condition with temps, you know, dropping into the low teens. So I was surprised they stayed up there as long as they did. And I haven't heard any, you know, terrible situations where, you know, masses of birds were, you know, succumbed to it. But those adults that got up there, man, they rode out some nasty stuff. I mean, they just didn't care. They'd sit on ice for days. And that's the thing. You get to 60 degrees and, you know, everybody jumps on the starter's block and pow, they're going to be in, you know, central Manitoba next week. So it's pretty remarkable.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they're fascinating birds. I think that's what intrigues most people to hunt them, especially, you know, some of the things that they do and overcome and the adversity. They're pretty fantastic. Now, just, you know, kind of to wrap it up, are you talking to anybody who is planning on hunting the Dakotas into Canada? I know you want to, but that's probably not going to happen. You know, do you know any guys who are hunting them all the way up in Canada?
You know, I, of course, know guys up there, but from guys down this way, I'm sure there's guys in Minnesota and Wisconsin and the Dakotas that do it because it's a lot easier to pull off. But, you know, guys down here that I know that are avid, and there's some pretty good crews roaming around northern Indiana, and certainly Illinois is just filthy with, you know, crews and that are ready to rock. I haven't talked to anybody. I think at some point, you know, you just get ragged, you get worn out, you've seen enough. And a lot of guys have hit that point. And those guys in the Dakotas, you know, haven't hit that yet, or they're probably darn close. But boy, you know, one of these years, I got to do it. And because from what I understand, it gets a little easier up there. There's less pressure, and birds tend to break up a little more. You don't have these big, giant, mega migration flocks. You have, of course, you have them, but you have a lot more smaller groups, family groups together and stuff. So it's a little easier on the, you know, on the ego when you're out there and you set up, you know, 1,500 decoys, and you actually have consistent birds coming in and not just riding that glass ceiling over the top, give you something to look at.
Yeah, I've talked to some guys up there, and it definitely just their behavior changes significantly once they get into Canada, Central Canada, you know, in that prairie region. You know, that they do. They break up into family groups, and you're decoying 8 to 10 at a time rather than 5,000 eyes looking down to see if there's anything wrong with your spread. So it does make it a little bit easier in that regards. But yeah, I haven't talked to anybody who's headed up there. I need to get a contact for that, though. We both do, it sounds like.
I think so. I think it should be on the short list. You know, turkeys get in the way for me, but I can manage that. I'll live.
Yeah, you'll survive missing a couple days of turkey season, I think. All right, well, cool, man. This has been a good update. You know, nice little wrap up. I think overall, it seemed like the majority of the people that I talked to had a pretty decent season, you know, other than a few here and there who felt like they got stuck with nothing in their hands because of the weather. But it sounds like it's still rocking and rolling up there. And I believe we have one more alert coming out, probably here within the next few days of this podcast. So keep your eyes out if you're looking for that. But Jay, this has been fantastic. Before I get you out of here, one last question. As usual, how's the fishing?
Fishing's great overall. The normal timeline, just like snow geese, has been highly impacted by the weather. And I would say we're two to three weeks ahead of schedule on just about everything. And in some cases, a month ahead of schedule. So this little cool down kind of slows the train a little bit. But it ain't gonna stop. So I'm already talking to guys about stuff that I normally don't even mention until like early May, believe it or not. So.
Oh, nice. Well, cool. Well, good luck with that, man. I appreciate it. Thanks for taking the time. And we'll have to get you back on here pretty soon.
It's always great to be here, folks. Get out there and enjoy the great outdoors and be safe.
I'd like to thank my guest, Jay Anglin, for coming on the show and providing a little snow goose, light goose conservation order wrap up. I'd like to thank our producer, Chris Isaac, for putting the show together and getting it out to you. And I'd like to thank you, the listener, for joining us on the DU podcast and supporting wetlands conservation.
Thank you for listening to the DU Podcast, sponsored by Purina Pro Plan, the official performance dog food of Ducks Unlimited. Purina Pro Plan, always advancing. Be sure to rate, review, and subscribe to the show and visit ducks.org/DU podcast. Opinions expressed by guests do not necessarily reflect those of Ducks Unlimited. Until next time, stay tuned to the Ducks. You and your dog are a team. Fuel is best in the field and in life with Purina Pro Plan Sport. Made for hardworking dogs of all ages, every sport formula starts with real meat as the number one ingredient and is specifically formulated to support strength and stamina. Try it today and see why Pro Plan is the official dog food of Ducks Unlimited. Learn more at ProPlanSport.com.